Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Nate Bauer joining us from the 12th Tee.
It's a little rainy out there, Steve. Not today.
What are you talking about? I see some clouds, some blue sky up there, little puffs of it.
It's coming around. I admit,
I played 8 straight days. I did.
Good for you.
Last week, there's no football going on, no spikes games for me last week. So I played every night.
Things are about to change, pal.
Yeah, no, I got a game tonight, and then a lot of things after that are going to change. I think I've got 7 games this month. I think I got 16 or 17 in August. September, I got 4 football, 3 baseballs, 4 in October, 4 footballs, and 7 or 8 basketballs in November. And then, okay. So, yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah. It's exciting.
We're here.
Look, if I wanted to play golf, I'd go play golf. I'd rather announce games. All right.
There you go.
So, the Nate Bauer, Steve Jones unionization idea was shot down by the Big Ten.
I thought it was a
good idea, and I thought you were a good negotiator.
You know what? I might be with you, depending on how we make out with the whole thing.
Yeah. So, what did Sean Clifford and the players want to talk to Kevin Warren about? I mean, as to what is the premise of this?
Yeah. So, and you know this. So fill in the gaps where I miss. But you know, look, everyone's having this conversation. I'm cutting through the BS here. Everyone's having conversations about $1 billion with a B contract for the Big Ten for its negotiating rights, right? For these media rights, NBC and Fox and you name it. Everybody's in this bidding war, and it's all kind of happening behind closed doors, but the reports that are emerging, we've been talking about this since what, February, March, that this is kind of on the table. And I think that what's happening is college football players, of which it makes sense that Sean Clifford is, whether he's the voice of this or at the forefront of this, you name it, it makes sense because he's positioned via his agency, Limitless NIL, to understand what the market is, right? He gets it. He understands that there's real money out there that is attached to college football. The product is as hot as it's ever been. People could have any conversation that they want about, we're not going to watch anymore. Our interest is waning. That's not true. And the reality of that not being true is the fact that they're talking about $1 billion media rights contract.
Right.
So all of that, what I just said, ties back into, hey, they want a seat at the table. They want to have a seat and say, look, better medical care that is independent of the school's care, right? That lasts beyond your playing career. That's a fairly common thing as being a desire and a negotiating point of the NFL players union, right? NBA, you name it, all of these other professional leagues. And specific to football, that's important. You can understand why. Mm-hmm. He talked very briefly about Journey Brown. That situation had a broad impact on Penn State football players, right? You don't come back from that not having a cognizance of how quickly it can be taken away, right? And how long you might need medical care after your playing career is over. So that was a big piece. There were 2 other pillars, Steve. Help me out here.
Well, medical care was one. And they're seeing the big money dollars here.
Yes.
And they're asking, how are you getting that? You're getting it through our performance. I think that's also a key part of what they're thinking. They're not saying that they want, I don't know if they want to be employees, but
right.
Which is completely different. But
here we go. I had to pull it up here. Independent medical care, right? So that's, it might sound as though they're being distrustful of their best interests being at heart of, which I have a problem with that, a little bit of a problem with that, right? Like, Dr. Sebastianelli, Penn State's medical care is top notch.
Yes.
They're not going, I mean, some would argue that it's overly conservative, right?
As you look at that, the Journey Brown thing is also in part because it's not just the medical care part of it, but they saw somebody with a chance to make big money in his lifetime as an NFL player. End.
Yep.
That's the other part that, you know, the sudden ending to it was medical. And then when you sit back and think about it, the long lasting ramifications financially for him.
Yep. I understand the counter argument about the value of the experience, right? Of being a scholarship student athlete at Penn State or otherwise, in terms of not just the value of the education, but the experience as a whole, right? So all of the training facilities, all like this entire environment that has been crafted to provide the best opportunity for them to succeed, right? Athletically and academically.
Right.
But when we have all of these conversations, whether it's you and I or the public at large or other media folks about this surplus of money, right? Mm-hmm. And how Penn State might spend it based on what the next, right, like the next round of media contracts are,
right,
that leaves out entirely a primary stakeholder. These guys mm-hmm. are saying to themselves, wait a second. If we don't play, you don't have any of this, right? And so, yes, on the front end, their experience doesn't exist. That would be costly to them. But on the backside of it, they're looking around and they're asking themselves, why is Kirby Smart making $112 million? Like, that is a massive number.
Yes.
James Franklin's making $85 over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mel Tucker, all of these massive, massive numbers. And a fraction of those massive numbers would set most of these guys up for, if not life, a very long time. Right, like that is the key question that is at stake here: is why are they not a part of the opportunity to cash in on the relevance and the popularity of the game?
So now let's just take this for as part of the fun of point counterpoint, right?
Yeah.
All right. If you're the Big Ten, do you look at the athletes and say, "Yeah, but"? If we do this, are you going to be taking away opportunities from other athletes on your campus? Because that's where a lot of this money is going to also go.
Yep.
I mean, I'm saying, is that the Big Ten's argument?
Well, I think that the Big Ten has multiple arguments. I don't, to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I don't think that's a winning argument. I don't think that getting football players, because Dennis Dobbs had a story on, I believe, Friday night where he quoted an anonymous source, right, who appeared to be a student athlete, saying, why is our revenue, the revenue from two sports, men's basketball mm-hmm. and football, going to support these massive ecosystems? Why is it paying for swimming and diving? Why is it paying for golf? Why is it paying for all of these other opportunities?
Right.
Is it nice for a college campus or a university to have those opportunities for those student athletes? Absolutely. It is part of what makes Penn State what it is. No doubt about it. But at what expense?
Right.
Right? And so if at minimum, these guys seem to be waking up to the notion that the entirety of the college athletics model is, I'm going to use a word that I don't want to use, communism. It's communism.
Well,
taking the one revenue generating sport.
It's socialism.
Right. Like it's supplying these other opportunities. And that might be nice, but if you're telling player X, I'm not going to put a specific name on this because it's not fair to them, but if you're going to tell player X that, hey, your financial aspirations and those of your family cannot be realized because we need to provide palatial facilities, right, and pay for golf, they're going to reject that.
Right. Oh, I know they'll reject it. I understand they'll reject it because, look, I've always used the Ford, Lincoln, Mercury part. So the Ford Motor Company, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. Does Mercury still exist? No. Okay. Maybe in terms of used cars, yeah. You know, you could see a Mercury Mariner running around someplace, but it doesn't exist because in the real world, Mercury underperforms financially, so they dropped it.
Yep.
That's called capitalism. That's business. College sports is a business that operates with socialism, which is 100%. which is why, for example, Rutgers is going to get the same cut as Penn State.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, that's who.
Right.
That's
Again, I've used this argument many times. I'm Mike Bone at USC. Let's go back. It's now May 25th. Okay, not July 25th. On May 25th, Mike Bone's looking around saying, "Excuse me, you're telling me Rutgers is going to get $90 million a year in TV revenue, and USC is going to get 36? What?"
Yep. Yep. I tend to think that there needs to be some level of acknowledgement that cutting, right? So let's say in Penn State's case, first of all, in Penn State's case, if you're cutting all of the non-revenue sports, you're cutting 28 sports.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Men's hockey produces a surplus, men's basketball based on media rights. And football obviously generates the lion's share of the income.
Right.
If Penn State athletics exists with only those three sports, right, everybody listening is probably saying, what about wrestling? Wrestling loses $500,000, $600,000 a year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, so this notion that you can just scrap everything, throw it all to the wood heap, that's not true. I mean, maybe it is true, but more people would be upset about it than you realize.
Yes, very much so.
You know, and so, like, it's not – there isn't necessarily a simple solution to this, but I do think the general premise of what these players are arguing is founded in reality, is founded in, hey, look, this is a huge – revenue generator for the athletic department, yes, but also in the appeal of the university. The university has something at stake here as well.
Right.
And that's not just at Penn State. That's across the country. Mm-hmm. It is – James Franklin talks about it, and others have talked about it. The front porch of the university, so many people are – right? Like fundraising, you name it.
Yep.
Comes into football. It's all tied in.
That was the Bobby Bowden statement, and everybody, you know, and he's, you know, it's not the university, but it's the front porch, and you know, when you're going to buy, what's the first thing you see is the front porch. And now I'm going to get to basketball here in a second, but just quickly.
Yeah.
The Big Ten's talking about it. If nobody else is talking about it, right, SEC, ACC, Pac-12, whatever. Say they're not talking about it. Can't they just look at them and say, okay, where are you going to go?
Right. Right.
No. I'm just throwing out.
Yeah.
Like okay.
I mean, that's it. It is the fundamental question that a lot of people have already carved out their side on as to really whether or not these are employees of a university.
Right.
Right. Because that is, look, like nationwide, this isn't limited to this issue. Talk of unionization and the balance between employers and employees as collectives.
Yeah.
Is broad. It's happening all over the place. You're talking about Starbucks, yeah. Amazon, right? And so, what is the give and take there? What union representation can provide more, right, and not be a detractor to its members?
Right.
There are lots of wins out there for quote unquote right. labor. It's just a question as to is this the deal that ends up benefiting the most, like the broader good?
Is
that the deal that right. that the arrangement that will work out? Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, and nobody wants to hear this, tax ramifications, scholarships, all of those things
yeah.
are part of the incentivization. You've got most college football players don't hit, right? They're not good. And so
that's very true.
if the dynamic changes to where you are no longer guaranteed a four-year scholarship, you are no longer guaranteed certain things, right? You show up your first year on campus, you stink, coach cuts you, says, hey, we're not willing to continue to invest in your development. All right, well, what next? Right? Who does this benefit? It is not simple. It's very complicated, and mm-hmm. I'm anxious to see, like many others, what right. could possibly come of it.
What did you think of basketball when you went last week?
I think I love Jalen Pickett.
Well, yeah, that's easy. Yeah,
I'm just gonna say that a million times. I love Jalen Pickett. I think he's really good. I think his potential. He reminds me of DJ a little bit.
Yeah.
Just crafty, but also strong. And to have that at your point guard position, I think opens doors for them that, you know, they still got to win games. They're still going to mm-hmm. win games. Sure. Mike Shrewsbury said it. They went 14-17, not the other way around, and they didn't win 20 games.
Right.
So you got to find a way to win six more games. Than yep. you won last year.
Yep.
And you got to do that without John Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So Jalen Pickett being the version of Jalen Pickett that played in February and March is a great start
yep.
to that. As are Cam Winter, who I think can be a great complement or primary backup, and Andrew Funk.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Funk is a player. He's automatic from the corner.
Yep.
You know, to have that there, I think, is also a big benefit. And then beyond that, it's really, to me, a matter of the freshman figuring it out and figuring it out quickly, right? Like, I don't know how much the guards are going to be necessary this season.
Mm-hmm.
But Kemba, the big fella, came in 20 pounds heavier than what he signed,
which is good. Yeah,
he's gonna play. Yeah. He's gonna play. He's gonna play this year. Seth Lundy, I think I don't want to miss talking about him. I mean, I just think that where he is, his development. I thought that Shrewsbury brought up a great point. This is the first time in his career. We talk about it with Sean Clifford. This is the first time yeah. in Seth's career that he's had the same coach.
I know.
Yeah. Back to back.
Yeah, Dick and I have talked about that. You know. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
You think about it, it's amazing. 4-year career, finally has the same coach 2 years in a row.
And he's got a ton of potential. I mean, it's very clear. I actually asked him about whether or not there was an area of his game that he'd like to, you know, to make a dramatic improvement in, right? Because we saw last year what happened for him on the defensive end of the floor. He was a lockdown defender.
He was. Got to be he has to be a little better ball handler.
I mean, or find himself in positions where he doesn't need to as much.
Right.
That's a big part of this. But he, I thought it was very funny. His, and I took note of it. His immediate response to how much his defense had improved was that he felt slighted by not having been an all Big Ten defensive pick. Right.
Yep.
So if his defense can take another step, add a little bit more efficiency for him on the offensive end of the floor, and just, I honestly like him, and I like him because I like Jalen Pickett. We'll see.
Well, we like you, so thanks for being with us.
Hey, you know what? I made my day. I'm in.
You have a great day, my friend. It's always great talking with you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.